work has been very difficult. I can tell you that we're trying to reach China through 5 different programs that we're working on simultaneously. We're using the internet, and we have an official Amazing Facts Chinese website that we have a presence on the internet. We have printed some of our materials. We printed the 27 lessons, many of you are familiar with those, and we printed them in a two-book form. The first 14 lessons are book one, the second 13 are book two. I have a call porter that works for me, and he's a leader of 3 home churches, and I'm just so excited because I saw him just last Sunday. We just returned from China on Wednesday, and as he was sharing his testimony, it just really touched my heart. He has 5 retired elderly women in his church that are his call porter workers. And on Sundays, every Sunday, he has them in front of the Sunday churches selling our books. And they sell many of our books to the Sunday churches. And he was sharing an experience because of the difficult way of distribution books. He travels throughout China to the different provinces, speaking at both Seventh-day Adventist churches on Sabbath and Sunday churches on Sunday, preaching the 3 angels' message, and then selling our books on the remainder of the time. He takes several young people with him, and while he's preaching, they're selling. And the last experience he just told me, where he sold 100 of our books, he was invited by one retired Adventist minister to go to a particular Adventist church and to share our materials. Well, they called that church, except they dialed the wrong Adventist church. And so I said, well, what happened? He says, well, when I got there, they were having a lay workers training seminar, and there were several hundred people there. And so they said, well, why are you here? He says, well, I came to share some good news with you. And so while he was there, he met a young lady, which I was aware of, that translated Pastor Doug Batchelor's book At Jesus' Feet, Jesus' Feet, the story of Mary Magdalene. And she was there, and they were selling those books. And so he says, well, I have the book that goes along with it. That's why I'm here. And so he shared the 27 lessons, and he sold 100 lessons there and gave copies to all these lay workers that are going throughout China to do gospel work. And so we were praising God the way the Lord used the wrong phone number to get us and get our materials into place. In China, we have the same similar problems we have here in the States. There are many different understandings of Adventism. And so you have conservatives, you have ultra-conservatives, and you have liberals and very liberals. And so one of the girls that we sold the books to, her father is one of the leaders in China of the SDA work, who's very liberal theology, but she's not. And so she bought 100 of our Amazing Facts study guides and gave them to her father's congregation so she can help them to get the true understanding of the Seventh-day Adventist message. But we're really excited. We're working on some projects, video projects. My wife is a registered nurse, and she's been able to use Dr. Nedley's material in China. In China, you have 250,000 people every year commit suicide. 250,000 every year. The first group are women, village women, that commit suicide. That's because many of the husbands are going to the large cities to work, and it leaves the poor woman home to take care of her parents, his parents, and any children. And of course, if they're in a farming community, she must also take care of the farm. And so it's just too much stress. The second group are students who take their lives because of the competition and the stress of to get an education, to get a job, and then to go on and take care of the family. And so his material was received very well. We're in the process of preparing a depression recovery website for that material. And we're also in the process right now of preparing our Sabbath Truth website in Chinese. So we want to thank the Lord for the privilege he gives us to be there and for the exciting experiences we have. Michelle and I, every time we go out of the country, we know that the last stop where we'll get stopped is customs and immigration. And so as we hand them our passport, we're just looking at them, waiting for those fateful words. Mr. Calderon, we need you to come over here to the side. We need to talk to you about something. But every time when they say to us, they said, Mr. Calderon, we're so glad you've been in our country. We hope you'll come back. I tell them, I'll be back. I'll be back. And so we were greeted again this time as we were leaving. And so we'll be back sometime this March to continue our work. Please pray for the work in China. There's a lot going on. The church is growing. It's amazing what God is doing. The Spirit is being poured out. I've heard some of the most powerful Adventist messages I've ever heard in China. It's just people love the Lord and they love the truth and they're doing everything they can to be ready when Jesus comes.
Richard, you've been in China a little over 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
2 years now. We'll keep Richard and Michelle in prayer as they keep moving forward to the work. I'm going to invite Tim Jones to come forward. Tim is a member here of the Granite Bay Church Plant, but we haven't seen him for a while, and John Q are wondering if we need to go do a pastoral visit because we haven't seen him at church. But then we found out he's been doing a very good work. As many of you know, Tim's been involved in full-time evangelism. Tell us, Tim, what's been happening.
Well, I haven't backslidden, and I'm still here. So good to be home again. Good to see you all. God is good, isn't he? Well, since Carol and I were here last, we've gone to Bermuda. We did a meeting over in Bermuda, which was quite interesting. We arrived in Bermuda, but our bags did not arrive with us. We arrived on Sunday. We had the meeting that started Sunday night, and we were just wearing the clothes that we had on the airplane. And I had some sandals that I was wearing, no socks, just sandals and jeans or whatever. And we had a meeting Sunday night. And unbeknownst to us, this particular church, they televised their meetings. And as we were in the little apartment that they had secured for us, Carol was trying on the tablecloth to see if she could fashion a skirt out of the tablecloth. God was gracious, and someone at the church provided some clothes for us. However, I still didn't have any shoes. But they didn't film my feet, I don't think. So we had a good meeting in Bermuda. 22 decisions there. It was a very constricted meeting because we had to do it in their short time frame. We were only there for 3 weeks. And we came back from Bermuda and immediately started a meeting in Shingle Springs. And I'm so grateful for those of you from our church here who came to Shingle Springs to support us in our meeting there. Wes and Jean and Mike and Rebecca and Rosalie and the rest of you who happened to have come for some of those. A very small church. I don't think they have more than 25 members in that church, but we had 10 decisions. We baptized 6 before we left, and we still have 4 to go. So God is good. I am so thrilled to be a part of this amazing evangelistic team. I got to tell you, it's really quite a humbling experience and an honor for me to be working with what I believe to be the best evangelists in the world. And God has opened that door for us, and we're going to continue doing what God's called us to do until Jesus comes or until we go. So thank you so much, Pastor Ross, and thank all of you for all of your support, for all of your prayers, because I know that many of you have been praying for Carol and I. And you are our family, and we are so happy again to be back home and to see all of your faces again.
Now, you're going to be home for how long before you head on out?
January 3rd, we're going to Oregon to start another meeting.
All right.
So and so our schedule is pretty much filled for the rest of the year, one meeting after another.
We'll maybe catch them every 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, right, wherever you are. Thank you, Tim. We'll keep you in our prayers. I'm going to invite Jason Morgan to come forward. Jason Morgan did a meeting at my church in St. Joseph, Missouri, one of the first meetings I think you did, and we really enjoyed it. His wife was there, and Abigail, the little daughter, was just born, and before I give you the mic, let me share an experience. We were out doing a visitation, And there was a couple that had come to our meetings all the way through. And we were doing some final clearing. I think the baptism was coming up that Sabbath, and we were in the home, and he was not there, but she was there. And Jason was going through the clearing card, and we were just about done, and the door, there was a knock at the door. And the lady said, "Just excuse me." And she went and she peeked through the curtains, and the next minute we heard her say, "Oh, no." And she opened up the door, and in walked the police, and they arrested her and took her off. Left Jason and myself sitting there in the living room wondering what we were going to do next. But we did follow up with them. Apparently, they had jumped state, and there was some financial situation outstanding. But we did do Bible studies with them, and the Lord was working in their life. But I remember that experience with you sitting in that person's living room.
Yes, and we were making our final comments as they were putting her head into the car. So we keep her in our prayers. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to share with you. You know, one of the greatest privileges of being in full-time evangelism is to witness firsthand divine intervention in the lives of people. And, you know, I want to share with you, not all the time do we get to witness this, but often we do. There's a lady that was coming to our meetings in Chicago. We were invited to a series in Chicago. Her name was Jean, and she was coming every night, never missed a night. And when we had the privilege of sitting down with her and clearing her and talking about, you know, her history and her past, how the Lord's been working in her life, you know, we learned something absolutely amazing. Jean had been in a few relationships, bad relationships that she had tried to get out of. And the previous relationship, she was wanting to get out of it because her fiance was not really into spiritual things. He was trying to get her to do things that she didn't really feel comfortable doing. And she tried to get out of the relationship. She wanted to grow spiritually. She was studying scripture, learning about Jesus for the first time. And even though she didn't know everything, she was making these little elementary steps to get out of the relationship and to grow. She was at the grocery store, and her fiance was very jealous and obsessive. And as she was putting the groceries into her car, she sat down, and he came behind her, and he had a pistol in his hand. And he shot her twice. The first bullet went through her jaw and out her mouth, and she hit the steering wheel with her head. And then he went for a second shot her right in the back of the head. But the amazing thing about this is as she was weeping, telling us this testimony, she went to the hospital, and the doctors told her, "The Lord is watching over you." The bullet went in the back of her head, but the bullet went around her skull. It never penetrated her skull. And the doctors have never seen anything like this. And I just couldn't explain how it didn't go straight into her brain. That was 3 months. That was 3 months before the meetings began. She was on her knees, and she was telling us in tears, "Lord, why did you spare my life?" And she got a handbill in the mail. Just amazing. She was coming every night, and she was there weeping, just telling us how, not just that God had preserved her life, but that God had sustained her life so that she could learn one of the greatest messages that God has entrusted to mankind. And we did baptize her by God's grace, and she's strong in the church there in Tinley Park, Chicago. But I want to tell you another testimony, another story about a couple. And I kind of struggled whether I'm going to share this or not. But, you know, every story never ends on a positive note. But we can learn something from every experience. There was a couple he was a pastor of a Methodist church. They were coming to our series each night. It was obvious they were under great conviction for some of the truths that they were learning, and they never really wanted a personal visit. And we really felt impressed that we needed to get in there and start making these appeals because, you know, these truths are eternal, isn't that right? And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so we felt impressed to just go and knock on their door. They made it clear that we're really not interested in visiting and talking about what we're learning, but they were coming each night. So we knocked on the door. They were home. We went in. We began to talk about some of the wonderful truths that they were studying in the series and learning. And I'll never forget this. The pastor and I were there at the dining room table, and we began to appeal to him. And, you know, he began to close up a little bit, and he really knew what he ought to do. And he made his decision. He was under great conviction, and his wife was right there. And, I mean, you could see the obvious conviction upon her face. And she turned to him in tears, and she said, "Listen, you know it's true. It's right there in the Bible. It is clear in God's word. We need to follow the Lord." But he made his decision. And we turned to her and we said, "Now, what decision are you going to make? Today is the day to make a decision for Jesus Christ." And as she was weeping, you know, we left her undecided. We left her house. I got a call about 4 o'clock the next morning, and she never woke up. She had passed away. Now, I know that's a terrible experience, but, you know, it teaches us that, you know, we're living for eternity. Isn't that right? And every day we need to be making decisions. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of this great message. You know, we're told by inspiration that if we neglect the privileges today, we're not promised tomorrow. Isn't that right? It's today. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I'm really glad to be here. God bless.
I want to invite Dave Stewart to come forward and share with us. He's one of our newest evangelists, joined us earlier this year, Dave. And share with us what you were doing before you went into evangelism, and tell us why you decided to make such a change.
Good morning. By the way, I'm a member at Sac Central. Have you heard of that church? So I'm still part of your church family, even though I'm not around very much. I was working as a prosecuting attorney, loving the courtroom, loving seeking truth, justice, the American way. See my old roommate, Daryl, here. We used to room together in Loma Linda. But God called me out of that. He called me to a work that's more exciting. How many soul winners are there in the room today? Everybody should be raising your hand. What is the most exciting part about being a soul winner? Being used by God. Any other answers? Those are all good. His grace, the fruits. Yes, some people would say winning souls. And I would take it a step higher and say the most exciting thing, at least for me so far, about being a soul winner is winning other soul winners. In fact, I believe you can't just win souls. If you truly win a soul, you're going to win a soul winner. Because how can you learn this message about Jesus and his grace, the three angels' message, without wanting to share it with others? I want to tell you a couple testimonies this morning about other soul winners. After I finished AFCO in 2008, my first call was to do Bible work up in Canada, up in Grand Prairie, Alberta. And I worked with Manny Beck. He was a very good mentor. I did Bible work and then trained under him and did a series. I did the noon meetings and he did the evening meetings. And when I first got to that church, I met a young man named Winston Green. And Winston was just starting to come back to church. And I found out he'd never been baptized. I asked him if he wanted to study for baptism. He said yes. We developed a good friendship, studied together. He was very hungry for truth. What was amazing is he grew up in the Adventist church, and he didn't even know there was a heavenly sanctuary. We had a lot of ground to cover. And he was just hungry, and we would study for 3-4 hours at a time. And then I had the privilege of helping to baptize him. And I also turned him on to Audioverse so he could get grounded in our message. At the time, he was doing auto detailing. He had his own business. And all day long, he would clean cars listening to Audioverse, learning about our special message and the mission of this church. Not just a mission worth dying for, but a mission worth living for. And toward the end of my time there, Emmanuel Beck and I sat down with Winston to talk about his future. And he was all excited about a new business he was going to start, which was mobile advertising. He was going to drive around town with a friend, driving vehicles, pulling signs for secular businesses in town. And I said, Winston, that sounds great. I said, but what is the most exciting advertising there is in the world, the most important advertising? He goes, the gospel. I said, why don't you do the advertising where it really counts? And so we talked Winston into going to AFCO. And he was in AFCO in the spring of this year, and they worked with guess which church? Granite Bay. How many of you remember Winston Green? Remember the guy with dreadlocks? Well, he no longer has those dreadlocks. When he came down to GYC last year in San Jose, a man named Randy Skeet met him. Later he called me, David Stewart, this is Randy Skeet. You need to tell that brother to cut those dreads. And Winston decided he would be a better witness without the dreads, so now he cut his hair. And he's actually a full-time Bible worker back at his home church where I met him in the first place. And what's exciting is to hear stories about Winston studying with people that I started to study with, but they still had a long ways to go. So he's always giving me updates about people that I know and he's studying with. And Winston's bringing three other young people to GYC this year, and he's so excited he can hardly stand himself. I just talked to him 2 days ago. The other person I want to tell you about that came out of that meeting was a man who'd been out of the church for 20 years. His name's Merlin. He is now in his 40s. He grew up in the Adventist church, and for 20 years had left the faith. But before I got there, the Lord had started working on his heart. One of the exciting things about soul winning is when we do something for God, he's already been preparing that person. You know, the Holy Spirit's been working in their life ahead of time. And so Merlin decided to come to the prophecy seminar, got the flyer in the mail. And right after we covered the Sabbath message, he had to go to his secular job and work on Sabbath. He was actually an engineer in the oil rigs. He was actually making $180,000 a year, very well-paid job. And so right after we presented the Sabbath message, the importance of keeping Sabbath, he was tested about the Sabbath, and he compromised, and he went to work. And as the series went on, he was very convicted. He took a stand for God at the end, said he wanted to follow God and be rebaptized. And then before I left, he wanted me to rebaptize him on his birthday. The only problem is he still hadn't worked out his work issues. And I said, Merlin, if you're going to start a new life in Christ and really be buried to your old life of sin, you need to resolve these Sabbath issues and really be prepared to commit all the way to Christ. So we ended up not baptizing him. Well, a few months later, I found out from Merlin that one night the Holy Spirit woke him up in the middle of the night and convicted him of the importance of keeping the Sabbath. Merlin went to his boss and said, I can't work Sabbath anymore. I can't work Saturdays. And they tried to work with him, but eventually he had to quit his job. You know what Merlin's doing today? He's working with a ministry called Faith Works in the Philippines. And he's overseeing the building projects of 13 churches in the Philippines. God has given him something more exciting, more important. Pays less, I'm sure. But it's just really neat to see people that are willing to take a stand for God, even when they have to make sacrifices like Merlin made. But you know, I like what David Livingston said. He said that if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, why should a commission by the heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? So I've found in my own life that when you make a commitment to Christ, even though it may seem like you're giving up a lot, God always gives you much greater rewards to make up for that.
Dave, you mentioned Audioverse. Where can people find out more about that?
On the internet, just go to audioverse.org. Great website on good preaching, powerful Adventist sermons. It's a really good way to ground people in the faith.
You download these sermons, you can listen to it on your iPod or something?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. The last evangelist, I'm going to invite Eric to come forward and share with us here in just the next 3 minutes. I wanted Eric to say a few words because he's been at Granite Bay before. How many of you remember the meeting that Eric Flickinger and Hilda Lisa did? A number of hands have gone up, and he's been doing meetings since. And he's going to be around a little closer, I guess, starting the beginning of the year. He's going to be working with the AFCO program just up the hill at the Weimar College.
Thank you, John. Well, I may take 3.5 minutes if you don't mind terribly. Earlier this year, we had the privilege of doing a meeting in Santa Cruz, California. Now, prior to going to Santa Cruz, I got a message. How many of you are on Facebook? Any of you on Facebook or any of those social networking sites? I got a message from somebody that I didn't know on Facebook. Her name was Janine. She said, hi, you don't know me, but I see by looking at the Amazing Facts website that you're going to be in Santa Cruz in the near future, and my mother lives in Carmel, which is just a little drive from Santa Cruz, an hour or so from Santa Cruz. And she says, I was really touched by an evangelist who came to my town several years ago, and I heard this biblically based message, and my husband and I, we decided to take a stand on it. And my mother, who lives out in Carmel, she is a dedicated Christian. She loves the Lord, and she's been studying into the issue of the Sabbath and trying to understand it better. And I think she would really be open to hearing the seminar that you present. But she says, I'd like to invite her to come. The only problem is she has a hearing impairment. She's not able to hear very much at all. She has hearing aids in both ears, and many people she can't understand at all. But do you think that you could have somebody there at the church sit next to her to kind of help explain things to her if she can't understand them? I said, sure, we can take care of that, not a problem. So we were just corresponding back and forth through Facebook. Well, the time finally came a couple months later when I arrived there at the church and we were about to have our opening night of the seminar, and I saw that there was a car sitting in the parking lot that had gotten there very, very early, and there was a woman sitting in the car, kind of short gray hair, and I thought, somebody's really excited about this seminar, and went in there and started getting things set up and so forth, and this lady walks in. And she's kind of looking around, and I noticed that she has hearing aids in both ears. And so I said, okay, I know who this must be. So I went up and introduced myself. I didn't even have to. She walked up to me, and she says, you must be Eric. I said, yes, I am. You must be Patty. And she said, yes, I am. I said, great, we're glad to have you here. And so we arranged to have her sit with a woman, one of the church members, to help fill her in on things. And I arranged to have her sit in the second row, because as I was corresponding with her daughter had asked, do you think she'll be able to understand these things and so forth? And I told her daughter that a couple of years ago I'd done meetings in Oregon, and there was a man who was coming to the meetings in Oregon who was, he described himself as profound deaf. He could hear very little, but he could read lips very well. And so I told Patty's daughter that this gentleman had come through the seminar, and he had enjoyed things, and he had told me several times that that I had some of the easiest lips to read that he has ever come across in his life. And I thought, well, I'll put that on my resume, I guess, But so I sent that to Patty's daughter, and Patty's daughter was excited about that, so she sent the message to her mom and so forth. And her mom started coming and listening to the messages, and her mother told me, you have incredibly easy-to-read lips. And I thought, well, here, this is confirmation. But she also said that the tone of my voice, for whatever that's worth, she is able to hear it as clear as a bell. She says, most people that I listen to speak, I can't understand what they're saying. It's all garbled, it's all messed, but when you speak, I can hear it just as clear as day. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord for that as well. Something else to add to my resume. But she kept coming night after night, so she'd drive about an hour, hour and a half, depending on traffic, one way each evening, then back home again afterwards. She didn't have very good ability to see at night. She was kind of night blind, but she would make the drive every night that the weather permitted. Some nights she would come, and she was just shaking from the experience of driving up and down the highway on the way to and from the meetings. She was going through a very, very bad marriage. It was falling apart. She was terribly abused. Her daughter was trying to help her out, and it was a tough, tough time for her. But night after night, she would come. She would hear the message. She would study through the Bible. She was convicted that what she was hearing was true. And we got down to the very end of the seminar, and she made a decision that she wanted to be baptized. She wanted to dedicate her life anew to the Lord. And so we set up a time to get together with her and visit with her about her baptism, and the pastor and I arrived at the church, and we looked at our clock, and her appointment time came, and 5 minutes later, and she wasn't there, and 10 minutes later, and she wasn't there, and 15 minutes later, and she wasn't there, and we were starting to get really concerned. And then we saw her car pull into the parking lot, and she jumped out of her car, and you could just see she was literally shaking. It was just convulsions almost. And she could hardly even stand up. So we ran out there and we grabbed a hold of her. She was on the cell phone with her daughter, and her daughter was trying to calm her down, and she just had a terrible time with her husband that day, and the drive had been terrible. And so I got a hold of the phone and talked to her daughter and told her everything's okay, she's here, nothing to worry about, we'll take care of her. So we brought her in, sat her down, got her calmed down, and we went through the basic teachings of the Bible, asked her, if she wanted to make a stand for Jesus, and she said, yes, absolutely, I'm ready to do it. And you could see that she just calmed down and everything started to smooth out. A couple of days later, she was baptized. We had the privilege of going to Arkansas just a couple of months ago where her daughter lives, and it just so happened that Patty was visiting her daughter in Arkansas about 45 minutes away from where we were holding a seminar. And so they arranged to meet with us at, I think, a restaurant one afternoon, and we got together, and I finally got to meet Patty's daughter that I'd corresponded with through Facebook. I got to see Patty again, and Patty's doing very well. She's moved out of that relationship that she was in that was so abusive. She's got her own apartment now where she's safe. and the church members have been very supportive of her and helping her and so forth. So I just want to let you know that God is working. He's working in lives and people who really need help, and God is showing them where they can find help, not through me, but through a message of peace and love and care from Jesus Christ. So maybe 4 minutes, I think.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. The Lord is working, and He knows whose hearts are open. And God is setting up these divine appointments. We're going to go ahead and take a 5 minute break, a 5-6 minute break. We want to invite you to come on back and join us here as we prepare for our worship service. We'll start our song service at about 5 to 11. If this is the first time that you're here at the Granite Bay Church, the restrooms are in the lobby as you come in, and the children should be on their way over from the Sabbath schools. God bless you.